الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
السلام عليكم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق، خلق الإنسان من علق، اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم، علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. My dear respected brothers, sisters and elders, before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received a revelation, there was a time when people were waiting for true guidance. As we know that Allah Rabbul Izzat has placed three sources of knowledge in this world. One are the five senses, the second is the aql, the mind, and the third is the divine constitution. Those people that neglect the third source of knowledge, they fall astray. They become out of those people that do not know the true status of their Lord and their Master. And through the mind, they cannot solve the events that will take place after death. And those people that believe that there is a source of knowledge that is greater than the mind, and they depend on the divine constitution, those people are on the right path. So a time came when people were deprived of that divine constitution and divine guidance. There have been mentioned three people in the books of history, Warqa, Zayd and Usman, that they were trying to find the objective of life in this world. They did not know why they were sent in this world. They did not know how to please their Lord and their Master. And they did not know how to worship Him. So Warqa and Usman accepted Christianity. And Zayd, he died. And while he was dying, he was saying that, "Oh Allah, if I knew how to worship You, and if I knew how to please You, I will please You in that manner." So people were deprived of divine instructions. 550 years more or less had passed by that Allah Rabbul Izzat did not speak to mankind. And people were deprived of ilm and knowledge, and people were deprived of divine instructions. So Allah Rabbul Izzat now decided that I should send the last message to mankind through the last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the final message, there were a few things that the Prophet experienced. And these things that the Prophet experienced before receiving revelation, in the Arabic is called irhas. It has been said that before receiving revelation, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream started to see angels. The second irhas of our Prophet is that he used to walk and he could hear the stones saying, "Salamu alayka ya Nabiyullah." That salam upon you, the Prophet of Allah. It has been said before the Prophet received revelation, Allah Rabbul Izzat did not allow the jinnat to travel to the heavens to listen to the talk that took place between the angels. And the fourth irhas of our Prophet is that whatever our Prophet used to see in the dream before receiving revelation, in the morning that dream used to become reality. As the Prophet used to see the dream and wake up in the morning, he could see that dream being fulfilled in front of his eyes. So this was preparing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to receive the final message. That's why it has been said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after receiving these four types of irhas, suddenly it came into his heart that I should meditate. But in some tafaseer and in some ahadith, it has been mentioned that it was the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for so many years that he used to go 1 month in a year into the mountain and he used to meditate. But before receiving revelation to build up the spiritual power of the Prophet, to make him spiritually strong to receive the revelation, he went to meditate. And it was the month of Ramadan. As we know that the Quran was received by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the month of Ramadan. The cave in which our Prophet meditated is called the cave of Hira, that is about 3 miles away from Makkatul Mukarramah. And it was a cave in those days in which the Prophet used to sit, and from there he could see the Khana Kaaba, he could see the Kaaba. Some Sahaba said, "O Prophet, what was your ibadat in that cave? What was your ibadat in that cave?" And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "My ibadat and my worship in that cave was meditation and ghor of fikr, and that is to ponder upon the greatness of Allah Rabbul Izzat." Some ulama have said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's ibadat in the cave was a mixture of the ibadat of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. But at the end of the day, the ibadat of the Prophet was to realize and recognize his Lord and his Master. It has been said this was the same cave where Abdul Muttalib went, the grandfather of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Makkatul Mukarramah was under attack by Abraha. When Abraha came with his great army to destroy the Kaaba, Abdul Muttalib went into the same cave and he prayed in front of his Lord. He prayed in front of the Lord of the Kaaba to protect the Kaaba. So this is a cave that was used by many people in the past. It has been said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one day when he was meditating in this cave, Allah Rabbul Izzat decided to send the final message, and the narration has been narrated by Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, in which it has been said, فَجَاءَهُ الْمَلَكُ, that the angel came. And that angel, according to the ulama, it is Hazrat Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, قَالَ اِقْرَأْ, that, O Prophet, read. فَقُلْتُ مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I do not know how to read. فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَتَّنِي. It has been said that Hazrat Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam embraced the Prophet and squeezed him so tightly, حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّ الْجُهُدِ. It came to a certain stage that I felt that my ribs will break. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي. Then Hazrat Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam released me. فَقَالْ اِقْرَأْ. Hazrat Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam said, read. فَقُلْتُ مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, I do not know how to read. فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَتَّنِي. Once again Hazrat Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam embraced the Prophet and squeezed him so tightly, حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنَّ الْجُهْدِ, that I felt that my ribs will be crushed. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي, then he released me. فَقَالْ, Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam said, اِقْرَأْ. فَقُلْتُ مَا أَنَا بِقَارِ. I said, once again, I do not know how to read. فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَتَّنِي. He held me once again and squeezed me so tight, حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّ الْجُهْدِ, that I felt that my ribs will be crushed. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي, then he released me. فَقَالْ اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ. خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. هذا جبرائيل عليه الصلاة والسلام recited the first five verses of the glorious Quran, in which Allah Rabbul Izzat is saying, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, recite in the name of the Lord, the creator of all. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, خلق الإنسان من علق, that Allah who created the human from a blood clot. خلق الإنسان من علق, اقرأ وربك الأكرم, read, your Lord is most gracious. اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم, who taught the human knowledge from the pen. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم, he taught the human being what he knew not. From here the ulama have deduced that the miracle of this ummah will be knowledge. Because after so many years, the first message that was given to this ummah was the message of ilm and knowledge. Because when a ummah is deprived of true knowledge and true light, then a person will try to find his own way. And when he tries to find his own way through his limited knowledge, through his limited source of knowledge, then he will fall astray. That's why if you study the great philosophers, all of them died, or most of them died as atheists. The philosophers who depend on the mind and do not depend in the divine constitution, most of them fall astray, and most of them become out of those people that deny the existence of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So when people were in darkness, the reason why these people were in darkness, because these people did not have knowledge. So Allah Rabbul Izzat sent knowledge, and the miracle of the knowledge is the Holy Quran. That's why the challenge that has been placed in front of mankind has been documented in the glorious Quran in many places, that the Quran is the book of Allah, it is a book of knowledge. We challenge you to make one verse like it. أَمْ يَكُولُونَ افْتَرَى, that, O people, if you think that this is the kalam, the talk of Prophet Muhammad, the knowledge of Prophet Muhammad, then bring one verse like it. So after so many years, Allah Rabbul Izzat sent the first verses of the glorious Quran to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through Hazrat Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Allah Rabbul Izzat explained and informed the people of the importance of knowledge. So how can people nowadays say that we deprive our females from knowledge? Islam is a religion of knowledge. But we teach our females knowledge in the fold of Islam. We do not receive knowledge that is a faras, the knowledge of Islam, and at the same time we break other fara'is and other rules and regulations of Islam. But we respect all rules and regulations of Islam. And one rule and regulation of Islam is the partition. It is hijab. And at the same time, it is to give education, Islamic education, to your females so they can bring up the children according to Islamic beliefs. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم فقط لا على كل مسلم ومسلمة. That to gain knowledge of Islam is not only faraz upon the male agenda, but it is faraz upon the female at the same time. But there are many other fara'is that we have to respect. We are not allowed to receive and to fulfill one faraz and break many other fara'is. So the objection from the non-believers is not correct, because Islam is a religion of knowledge. Islam has taught us to follow ilm, achieve ilm, and then put ilm into practice. That's why Allah Rabbul Izzat said in the glorious Quran, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Do you think that person that has knowledge and that person that does not have knowledge are the same? One person has the light that he can use to reach his Lord and his Master, and the other person is in total darkness, how can you put them, these two people, on the same platform? So my dear respected brothers and sisters and elders, the revelation that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received was اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ, in which Allah Rabbul Izzat informed the Ummah of the greatness of knowledge. At the same time, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation, it was something new. So the Prophet Muhammad started to shake, and he ran towards his house. And he said to Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, zambiluni, zambiluni. But cover me, I am feeling very, very cold. I am shaking, I do not know what has happened to me. So Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha covered Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after a few moments, when the Prophet rested, he said to Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra that this is what I have experienced. And I fear for my life. I fear for my life. Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra, who was the student and the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 15 years, she said, Wallah la yukhzika Allahu abada. That I swear in the name of the Lord of this universe that Allah will never disgrace you. You do not have to fear for your life. Why? Because you have some great qualities. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ. That you make up with those that break up with you. You make up with your relatives that break up with you. وَتَصْدُقُ الْحَدِيثِ. And you speak the truth even if people speak lies to you. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. And you pick up the burden of those that are in need, that cannot pick up their own burden. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبَ الْحَقِّ. And you help those people that are in need of help. وَتُقْرِئَ الضَّيْفِ. And you fulfill the meaning of hospitality, that you are very hospitable to your guests. And in one hadith, in Sahih Bukhari, it has been said, وَتُعَدُّ الْأَمَانَ. And you fulfill the trust. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. And you make your provisions and you work very hard to provide for the poor and the needy people. لَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا. Allah will not disgrace you. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after hearing this and after seeing the first person in this world to accept Islam, was very, very happy. The first person that accepted Islam was Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha had a cousin that was named Warqa bin Nawfal, who had the knowledge of the previous books. So Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra took Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Warqa bin Nawfal, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the whole story. Warqa bin Nawfal said, this is the same message that was given to Moses, and this is the same message that has been given to Jesus, and this is the same message that has been given to you. Glad tidings, you are the final messenger. If I am alive in those days when you will be exiled and you will be thrown out of your home city and I have power, I will support you. But I know I will not reach that time because I am very old at this certain time. I may not see those days. That's why when some Sahaba used to say that Warqa bin Nawfal died as an Ahl Kitab, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't say nothing about Warqa. I saw him wearing white clothes, and this is the sign of a person of Jannah. And he will have two Jannahs because he had the intention to become a Muslim. And if a person reverts from another religion, from the religion of a book to Islam, he will be given two Jannahs. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned Warqa bin Nawfal and said, how will those people that love me from the bottom of their heart and trust me and respect me exile me from my own city? He said, this is the sunnah. When a prophet will stand up and he will give a message that will not be liked by the people will throw him out of the city, and this will happen to you because your message is based upon condemning the lifestyle of these people. You will not allow them to live the life that they are living. That's why Abu Jahl And all these mushrikeen and pagans, they could utter La ilaha illallah, but they did not utter it because they knew when they will utter these words, by uttering these words, they could not live the life that they were living. Because then the controller is not their own nafs and their own man, but the controller is Allah Rabbul Izzat from above. So they could not utter La ilaha illallah. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation. The ulama have said, what is the meaning of revelation? And how did the Prophet receive the revelation? There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala an narrates that Hazrat Haris bin Hasham, who is the brother of Abu Jahl that accepted Islam, he asked the Prophet, what was your condition when the revelation used to be descended upon you? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the revelation used to descend upon me, the noise was like a bell. And when this noise used to come to an end, the message that was given used to be in my head. It used to be preserved. That's why in the early stages, when the Prophet used to receive the revelation, to learn it off by heart, the Prophet used to recite at the same time. Allah Rabbul Izzat said to the Prophet, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. You do not recite, you just listen. And by listening, Allah Rabbul Izzat will preserve this in your heart. That's why we say to the non-believers that this Quran that has been preserved by so many, it is the miracle of Islam. Those children that can learn 600-700 pages of Arabic that they do not understand and then can keep it in their heart for so many years, this is not their miracle. It is the miracle of the Quran and it is the help of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Because Allah has said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. I will make the dhikr, this Quran, easy for you to learn. That same Hafiz, if he learns 3 pages of English, he will not be able to keep it in his mind over 3 or 4 days. He will forget. But the Quran, when it enters the human body, it is a miracle that Allah Rabbul Izzat does not allow it to come out as long as that person respects the book and gives time to the Holy Quran. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered by Allah Rabbul Izzat not to read, but just to listen. His duty is to listen and Allah Rabbul Izzat will preserve it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this type of revelation used to be the hardest upon me. I used to go through more pain than any other time. This used to be the hardest type of revelation upon me. Shaykh Muhayyuddin ibn Arabi said, why did the Prophet say that he used to hear the revelation as a bell? Because bell is continuous. So the revelation used to be continuous. And if you hear a bell ringing, you will not know from which side you are hearing the bell. Likewise, when the revelation used to come from above, the Prophet did not know from which direction. It used to be from all directions. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha said that when the Prophet used to receive the revelation, I could see in the cold weather that the Prophet used to sweat. In the cold weather. And Hazrat Zayd bin Sabit radiyallahu ta'ala an said that once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful head was placed in my lap, and at that certain time the revelation descended. And I could feel the burden of the revelation that descended upon the Prophet, and I thought that my legs will be crushed. That's why it has been said when the Prophet used to sit on a animal, and at that certain time the revelation used to come, the animal no longer could walk. It used to sit down. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said that sometimes we could hear the revelation, it used to be like the buzzing of a bee, the humming of a bee. This was the first form of revelation, or the first kind of revelation that was very hard upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second type of revelation that was common is that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam used to come in a human form, and most of the time he used to come as Hazrat Dahya Kalbi radiyallahu ta'ala an. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this type of revelation used to be the easiest upon me. There used to be no pain. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam used to recite the revelation in front of me. The third type of revelation is that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam used to come in his original form. It has been said this has happened twice in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once when the Prophet requested to see the face of Hazrat Jibreel, and the second time is in Mi'raj. And the fourth type of revelation is the revelation where Allah speaks to the Prophet directly as he spoke to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah Rabbul Izzah spoke to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly in Mi'raj. The fifth type of revelation is inspiration, and that is when Allah Rabbul Izzat without Hazrat Jibreel will descend something upon the heart of the Prophet. As it Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alqa fi raw'i. Yes, that Allah Rabbul Izzat sent something upon my heart. These are the few types of revelation that the Prophet received in his life. My dear respected brothers and sisters and elders, keep in mind that the revelation that started, the message that the Prophet received, is the final message. There is no message to come after this message. So Allah Rabbul Izzat is not going to speak to any human being up till the day of judgment. Whatever Allah had to say has been said. If anyone wants to reach his Lord and his Master, if anyone wants to please his Lord and his Master, if anyone wants to know how to please his Lord and his Master, you can find the answer to that question in the message that the Prophet received over 23 years that is called the Glorious Quran. That's why the ulama have said, and it has been documented in the Glorious Quran, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That if a person tries to find any other channel that he thinks that will lead to his Lord and his Master, other than Islam, Allah Rabbul Izzat is saying first of all, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلْ. Allah will not accept it. And if that person thinks that he is doing good, and he is reaching his Lord and his Master, and he is sacrificing, because I know, you know, there are many people in this world that make more sacrifice than us. There are some people that have not spoken for 40 years. There are some people that are not eating meat their whole life. There are some people that are standing on one leg for weeks and weeks. So they are making the effort to please their Lord and their Master. But it is not the effort that is required and accepted by Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah is saying He will not accept it. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And on the day of judgment, those people that made the effort to please their Lord and their Master, but it was not the effort that had the stamp of authority and the stamp of approval and the stamp of sunnah. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. These people on the day of judgment will be great losers. So through the infinite mercy of Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allah has chosen us to follow this great message. The message that the Prophet received, the message that people were waiting for, the message that Zayd was waiting for, and he left this world saying that, Oh Allah, if you tell me how to please you, I will please you in that manner, but I do not know. That message, when it was not existing in the world, people were making tawaf of the Kaaba naked. Those people, when they were deprived of this message, they did not know their rights, and they did not know the rights of the colleagues, and they did not know the rights of the people in front of them. They did not have direction. They used to fight upon petty things. There was no importance and respect and value of human blood. But this same message, when it came, it changed the whole world. It brought a revolution. It gave us hope in life. It gave us direction. It gave us a greater aim and ambition and an objective. So whatever loss we experience in this world, we can take it as a man, because we know that the greater benefit, eternal happiness, is waiting for us. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, keep in mind that we are Muslims, we have the greatest message, the message that Allah has given to the Prophet, and there is no greater message that has been given to any person. And if we want to be successful, we have to follow this message. Allah Rabbul Izzat has said in the Glorious Quran, and Allah knows what is a bounty. I do not know what is a bounty because my knowledge is limited. My experience is limited. My life is limited. But Allah, the creator of this whole universe, and Allah, the creator of everything that we see, if He says that something is a bounty, how can we challenge that? If Allah says that something is a bounty, how can we challenge that? And Allah has said about the Quran and about this message that this is a bounty for mankind. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. That today, the journey of deen, the journey of a religion that starting from Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam has come to an end. If anyone wants to please Allah, this is the deen. It is complete. Nothing will be erased from it, and nothing has to be put additional in this deen. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And Allah is saying, I have fulfilled and completed my favor upon you. So if a person has deen, he has the Quran, he has this religion, he does not need any other ni'mat. This is the greatest ni'mat. It will not desert a person in this world. It will not desert a person at the time of death. And surely it will not desert a person in the ultimate journey after death. It will help you, assist you in the great events that will take place after death. And Allah is saying, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah, the creator of this universe, the creator of the prophets, the creator of the angels, the jinnat, the humans, whatever we see, is saying, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. I have chosen this deen for you. This deen that the Prophet received over 23 years. Now the question is, do we consider this to be a ni'mat? If the ni'mat of health is taken away, we cry that, oh Allah, remove the sickness and replace it with health. If the ni'mat of provision and sustenance and wealth is taken, we cry that, oh Allah, replace this calamity, replace poverty with affluence. But when the ni'mat of deen is taken away, when the sunnah of the Prophet is slaughtered in front of us, when the namaz is neglected, and when we see the ummah in a certain condition, where they do not even look like to be Muslims, do we feel in the same manner? If we don't, then we don't consider this to be a ni'mat. And what I am saying to you, I've heard this from a great scholar, that we do not consider this to be a great ni'mat. Because a ni'mat is something that when you lose it, you feel for it. When we walk in the streets, even if this is a non-Muslim country, but still this is the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should feel for them and we should pray for them that Allah give them hidayah. It is easy to make a dua that, oh Allah, destroy them, but this is not the sunnah of our Prophet. The sunnah of our Prophet is that every single human being should enter the fold of Islam. The Prophet came to save humanity from the fire of Jahannam and eternal punishment. This is the ni'mat of Allah Rabbul Izzat, and we should respect it as a ni'mah. As we thank Allah Rabbul Izzat for health, health, prosperity, name, fame, and whatever ni'mat, we should thank Allah Rabbul Izzat in the same manner that Allah has blessed us with this ni'mat. We are not excelling in our deen and in this ni'mat because we are not thanking Allah for it. Because Allah has said, لَإِن شَكَرَتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if you thank Allah Rabbul Izzat, He will increase the ni'mat. If we do not thank Allah for the ni'mat of deen, how will Allah Rabbul Izzat allow us to excel in this ni'mat of deen? And at the same time, we should respect it. We should give it respect and we should give it time. Now the question that I will pose to myself and to the congregation, and Allah Rabbul Izzat is looking above us, will we respect this ni'mat? Most of us are still sleeping. Will we respect this ni'mat? And will we give time and respect to this ni'mat? And will we ask Allah Rabbul Izzat to excel, give us